And that really is the objective of this program, is to be able to come to people's homes and determine, you know, they determine through their testing, and we've seen lots of issues with the testing for this COVID-19, determine who is ill and potentially remove them from their homes. This is coming straight out of the mouth of World Health Organization official Michael J. Ryan. A lot of people would think that this could never happen in a country like the United States. Just a few months ago, many of those same people would probably say that there's no way that this entire country would be on lockdown for months on end. The states are not only going to be deploying health and government officials as part of their contact tracing programs, but also they're training and will be implementing and deploying the National Guard to assist in this contact tracing program. And this is many states around the U.S. And again, I don't think that the National Guard is the enemy. I think that there's a lot of good people who sign up who actually want to do good, but they may be used as a tool. And, you know, as we see, there's a lot of misinformation coming from the mainstream sources trying to hype up the fear amongst the people, which is being used against the people.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Spiro Skouras coming back to the program, and we are going to talk about the recent 666 legislation for contact tracing. We're also going to talk about Trump's interview this morning, where he says he's going to mobilize the military to get a vaccine out to as many people as possible. And that just came out this morning. And we didn't talk about it, I just want to warn you, we didn't talk about it until the end of this program. So there's a lot jam-packed into this interview with Spiro. We are dealing with some really important issues. We talk about the parallels, just like I did a show, my last show, with the Chinese Communist Party and the re-education camps. We're doing the parallels of what we started seeing not only there, but Nazi Germany. We're seeing so many parallels to there being a buildup to something that is, frankly, kind of scary. And we need to have the courage and strength to be adults and to be responsible for ourselves and to stand up for our rights. We need to encourage the sheriffs around this country, because they do not have to follow anyone except the voters. They have an oath of office to uphold the rights of the Constitution, to uphold our rights. And so the sheriffs are people that we should be able to count on. They should not be letting these governors walk all over people. We need to uphold our rights, and we need to be aware of what's going on in this country. And so we talk about all of that during this interview, what this means, the fact that they even would use the 6666 as a number. I mean, they're very aware what these numbers mean, and they don't even care to change it. That, to me, is very disturbing. I'm not somebody who normally looks at numbers, because I know, like, my hockey number, I played hockey for years, and my hockey number was 33, and not because I picked it. I guess I learned afterwards that 33 isn't actually not a number you should be using, and I didn't know. And I didn't even pick it. I got it because it was a leftover jersey that had number 33 on it. So I'm number 33. I haven't played for a while now, but that's what I was. And then I realized that, oh, that's a bad number to have. Well, no, it's just the number 33. It doesn't mean, unless you are actually in those weirdo cults, it doesn't mean anything. And so I don't want people to put things on things that don't have that relevance. But when you're talking about legislation where they actually know what that means to a lot of people and they didn't bother to change it, that is a big fat message. And that scares me, because, you know, what are they doing? And I've had people tell me that unless the governors or unless the people in the states allow it to happen, it can't happen. So we have the power to say, hell no, we are not going to let this happen. And I want to encourage Donald Trump, please listen to other experts out there. Please listen to more than Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. Get like Dr. Joe Nuzma. And I know Judy Mikovits is kind of the the bad guy right now, but listen to her. Why not? She's a whistleblower. The way they abused her, put her in jail without a trial and all these things, that they shut her up. That's an example how you treat whistleblowers. It's the pattern of abuse that I'm seeing. We've all had nut job. I ran a company. I've had some nut job employees who are out there. And but I'm not going to do that to them. They make the behavior and the way they treated Judy Mikovits makes me think, well, that's, you guys are hiding something, because even their behavior, the abuse against her, makes you look more guilty than what even she's saying, because that's the pattern of abuse that you do when you have something that you're hiding. So I just think we should listen. What is wrong with listening to different points of view? Listen to Dr. Tenpenny. She has over 40,000 hours. You might not agree with her. You might not believe what she says, but at least listen and weigh out that data. But if you only listen to one side and the people who are profiting, then there's something wrong. We should weigh out. And as critical thinkers and as citizens, we should be able to see all sides of the equation. Google should not be censoring us. YouTube, please don't censor us. We have the right to be able to hear all these sides and learn and then make up our mind. I have a science background. I'm an engineer in training, and I want to hear the science. I want to be able to make up my own mind. I don't want you to make up my mind for me. I don't want you to say that's misleading, you can't see it. I want to determine if it's misleading. I want to learn on my own and know if it's right for my family or not. I don't want you to babysit me. I want to determine on my own. And the more we have people who stand up and say, wait a minute, I want to learn on my own. I want to make the decisions that are right for my family, the safer and the better off we're going to be as a country. And before we get into this interview, I have to do my plug to keep this thing funded and to keep me going full time. First, I want to thank my patrons. They are the backbone of this thing. They keep me going. They keep me relying on something that I'm like, okay, I have something I can rely on. And my affiliates, I got to tell you, I am so appreciative of my affiliates, the C60 gel caps. I now have the C60 face cream, organic, great stuff, and the body lotion. All the C60 is 99% pure. It's the best on the planet for getting rid of free radicals and to just helping to restore health and allowing your immune system to do its thing. And I have Tetragen, which keeps you from being hungry, because all the crap we're bombarded with gives you that message. Your brain's not getting your message. The leptin helps you. Your brain's not getting the message that you're not hungry anymore. That's one of the main reasons, besides the hormones and everything else, that you're having your issues with gaining weight. I know before I started taking this, I was hungry all the time. It's really helped me a lot. It works on 5 different things. So anyways, any of these products that helps to support my affiliates, and you can get those at sarahwestall.com/shop. Be sure to look for the most recent coupons. Patrons save more. I try to make your Patreon membership, I hope you save more than what you put into it. So let's get into this really important interview with Spiro Skouras. Hi, Spiro. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back.
Well, it's an important topic that we're going to be talking about. And you've been covering it probably better than anyone. And I sent you a little message saying, it's actually very disturbing, this new legislation and the fact that they numbered it 6666, which kind of blows me away that they're so flagrant about it and blatant. They're very aware of what all these things mean. So the fact that they didn't just bother to put in a couple different numbers is crazy. What do you think of this legislation, and how serious is this?
Well, this is this legislation, House Resolution 6666, is very concerning. I mean, of course, this is all being sold under the guise of this world declared emergency due to this coronavirus outbreak. But basically, what this resolution is it's their contact tracing program legislation, which enables, you know, things like mobile testing units and things of this nature. It basically funds this contact tracing program. And this, you know, is a relatively new term that a lot of us haven't really heard about. And the big concerns, of course, come to privacy, basically, because they're using in our movements and who we come into contact with. So there's a major privacy issue there. But as the World Health Organization official Michael J. Ryan stated, that's not going to be their end-all solution for this program when he was referencing the contact tracing that was conducted in Singapore. He was saying that they needed boots on the ground to go and knock on people's doors, come to people's homes, and that that really is the objective of this program, is to be able to come to people's homes and determine, you know, they determine through their testing, and we've seen lots of issues with the testing for this COVID-19, determine who is ill and potentially remove them from their homes. This is coming straight out of the mouth of World Health Organization official Michael J. Ryan, saying that it's time to enter people's homes and remove them from their homes. Of course, he said in a safe and dignified manner, but presumably against their will, because not everyone is going to be willing to just, you know, get in the van or in the truck and go wherever they're going to take them. Now, this is, a lot of people would think that this could never happen in a country like the United States. Just a few months ago, many of those same people would probably say that there is no way that this entire country would be on lockdown for months on end. We're still in lockdown.
I would never, ever. Yep.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think that this could never happen here. Well, it has happened here. And now we see states starting to roll out their own contact tracing programs. And a health official, the top health official of Ventura County, California, just a few days ago in a press conference, stated virtually the same plan that was laid out by the World Health Organization official, and stated that people may not be able to be self-isolated in their homes if it's determined that they have the virus, and hence they will have to relocate them. Now, this was met with great pushback from the public. A lot of people did not like hearing this, rightfully so. And so he later walked back his statements, but essentially the isolation and quarantine aspect of the contact tracing program is a huge fundamental principle of this program. So you can't tell me that, I mean, they're just going to mark you down in their little notepad. Okay, you have it, you know, go on your way. No, they want to isolate you for a minimum of 14 days and potentially your family.
Well, every single time they've pulled people out of homes, they've done any kind of isolation, re-education camps, or pulling people aside. They always say it's for the best of you. They always have this really bright, so do you trust that their intentions are for the general good? I mean, I can't even get my arms wrapped around why we know the numbers, right? We know what these numbers are. This seems like it's so far out of proportion to what we're dealing with.
Well, I would agree. And of course, at the same time, I would have to just assume that your basic average healthcare worker and average even government employee, you know, they're generally good people that they want. Yeah. They're just trying to help. They're following orders, yeah, you know, so to speak. I mean, they think that they may be doing the right thing. Although there is a major agenda attached to this crisis that is very apparent for many of us. And, you know, I was shocked to find out recently that the states are not only going to be deploying health and government officials as part of their contact tracing programs, but also they're training and will be implementing and deploying the National Guard to assist in this contact tracing program. And this is many states around the U.S. Now, the state governor, Jay Inslee in Washington State, did say that the National Guard is not here to operate under a law enforcement capability. But at the same time, many would argue what we're seeing now is a form of medical martial law, so to speak. So, it's not law enforcement. It's just medical, crisis that we have, so we must remove you from your family. I mean, we are seeing the language, we are seeing the pieces put in place. And again, I don't think that the National Guard is the enemy. I think that there's a lot of good people who sign up who actually want to do good, but they may be used as a tool. And, you know, as we see, there's a lot of misinformation coming from the mainstream sources trying to hype up the fear amongst the people, which is being used against the people.
Well, and do you think that the indication that they really care, I mean, they didn't do anything, Florida did, but our state where I'm at, Minnesota, has the worst record for nursing homes, right? If they really cared to the point where they're going to be doing this contact tracing and implementing the military, don't you think they would be spending a little bit more effort on the nursing homes where the people who are at most risk are?
Well, there's a lot of things about this so-called new normal that we're rolling into, which don't make a lot of sense. I mean, this new normal, it seems to be backwards in many regards. Now, yes, the vulnerable should be the people who already have pre-existing health conditions should be, you know, treated, you know, or cared for and maybe in a different way. Whereas, for example, we had seen in New York State, supposedly one of the states which is hardest hit in the U.S., the governor there, Governor Cuomo, was releasing people from the hospitals who had tested positive and was sending them to stay at the elderly homes for recovery. So essentially putting infected people right where the last place you want them to be. So a lot of things here, are they mistakes? You know, I don't know. Are they intentional? I don't want to say that. But at the same time, you know, they're going to say this is a new scenario that we've never experienced before. And this may be, you know, you can get away with a heck of a lot during a crisis.
Well, and even like youth sports, like kids playing soccer and doing things that are so healthy for them, these kids, as far as the numbers that I have seen, they're more likely to get hit by a bolt of lightning than to die from COVID-19. I mean, that is the accurate numbers. So why would we be forcing them into a lockdown situation versus getting them out playing soccer and playing baseball and doing all the things that help them be healthy human beings? I know I'm asking you a rhetorical question that is so stupid, but I mean, what's going on?
It's a good question. It's a question that many people are probably wondering themselves. And ultimately, in my personal point of view, my perspective on this, having researched this since this crisis has emerged and researching these same players who are involved in other programs prior to this, which is all connected in a big way, this is not necessarily about a virus. I think that this is more about control. And they are achieving many goals through this crisis. Never let a good crisis go to waste, right? We've heard that saying repeated time and time again. In other words, they are able to achieve agendas and goals of those agendas that they would never normally be allowed to get away with, and they're just ramping them through. We're seeing the economic destruction of this country and many other countries around the world. The middle class is essentially being demolished, being wiped off the face of the planet. As the rich get richer, the poor get poorer here. We're seeing that these central banks who pull the strings globally in a big way have been working for years on their central bank digital currencies, and they just so happen to be ready to roll out right as this pandemic strikes, and we hear from World Health Organization and other places advising people not to use cash, for example. Okay, well, it just so happens they have their CBDCs ready to roll out as we are entering a new, I believe, predetermined agenda, a plan to digitize. We're transferring, basically transitioning from this current system of control into the new digitalized system of control that's going to encompass every aspect of our life, everything from our finances to the economic and monetary systems to, you know, the every aspect that you can. I mean, they're talking about, okay, Bill Gates is working with ID 2020 in the United Nations, for example, to implement a program under the UN Sustainable Development Goals to give everyone on the planet a digitalized form of identification that will be universally accepted globally. Okay, this is the same guy who is working on programs to produce, to be able to have people obtain and get digitalized vaccine certificates, you know, and then all of our money and our finances are going to be digitalized. I mean, this is all coming under one big umbrella here, which falls perfectly in line with the UN's 2030 agenda and Agenda 21. And this is like the UN, for example, is playing a major role in the rollout of 5G. They've been working on this since at least 2012 through certain programs that they have. Now, I know there's been a lot of talk about 5G, and I'm not saying that it's causing the virus or causing the outbreak or anything like that. Does it have potential harmful health effects? I'm sure it probably does. It should be researched properly.
It lowers people's immunities. Yeah,
well, look at the.
But it might not be the problem, but go ahead.
Well, just look at the warnings that come with your cell phones, for example, the electromagnetic radiation that comes from your cell phones or the smart meters or your Wi-Fi. You know, all of these things, yes, they do have some sort of an effect on our body. But overall, this 5G program, along with artificial intelligence, is going to be basically the operating system for this new digitalized system of control that we are seeing unfold underneath the guise of this pandemic.
Well, I think you,
in my view.
Well, I think all of us are, and let me explain this. I think all of us are pro-vaccine in the sense that if the vaccine does what they claim it does, we're for it. If it really doesn't have any negative side effects, it's effective like they say it is, and it's 100% safe, it's like, well, bring it on, right? I mean, we're all for, I don't know anybody who's not for that. But there has been so many examples in the past where the vaccines, you know, the Ebola, where they mass put it out and they had major issues. They have never been able to put a vaccine out in less than 5 years, let alone be able to put out a vaccine for the cold virus or the flu virus that actually works in any kind of significant way. What are your thoughts on whether this virus or this vaccine that they are planning on doing, you know, by the end of the year is actually going to be what they say effective and not dangerous, you know, 100% safe and at least a heck of a lot safer than the disease itself?
Well, you know, again, under the guise of this crisis, we have seen the regulations rolled back significantly. To where the vaccine manufacturers they're being given the green light to mass produce and fast track this never before used experimental vaccine. This is a brand new type of vaccine technology that has not been used in humans before. These new RNA and DNA type of vaccines, which contain nanotechnology in them. I've spoken with doctors and interviewed them as well, to where this vaccine is basically, when they inject you with it, it's going to discharge an electrical impulse. That way the RNA can fuse itself essentially to your DNA, genetically altering your DNA. This RNA sequence in there is going to genetically alter your DNA. So this is a brand new type of experimental vaccine that's never been used before in humans, and it's being fast-tracked like never before. And then on top of that, there are provisions in place under this emergency that, you know, not only provides the vaccine and drug manufacturers complete immunity from any adverse event or in any response, autoimmune response that is not healthy to people, the vaccine manufacturers have no liability at all whatsoever. And under the PREP Act, which Dr. Tenpenny was talking about, the government is basically has a contract where they have to purchase these drugs, these experimental drugs from these vaccine manufacturers. So they basically have no real incentive to create a safe and effective product. Of course, you know, there's a lot of controversy around this topic, but I mean, if you're just looking at this from a totally neutral position, that yes, vaccines have a history of harming people. Some would argue that they have a history of really helping people. We have seen in the past, for example, in Germany, there was a scandal, I think it was back in 2012 or 2009, somewhere in that time frame, to where people were accusing there of being a two-tiered medical system. Basically, the elite, the government, and officials were receiving what they called clean vaccines, which didn't have any of the toxic ingredients and chemicals in them, where the general public was not receiving those type of vaccines. So this is something we have to take into consideration. And plus, you know, they have put together like the Vaccine Compensation Fund, which again removes liability from the vaccine manufacturers. And this has paid out $4.2 billion, last I checked, to people who have been directly injured, proven to be injured in a vaccine court, which the odds are stacked against you. And if I may, just one more point, going back to the polio vaccine during the 50s and 60s, people will say the polio, the vaccine eradicated polio. And you see Bill Gates say this a lot. But what you don't hear Bill Gates say is that there was a time frame where this polio vaccine was on the record contaminated with SV40 virus, a simian virus. They called it SV40, which was monkey cell cultures that contaminated the vaccine. And they had given this vaccine to 98 million people. And it is, if you can go to the NIH website and see on record where they state that this contaminated vaccine was directly attributed with giving people, you know, cancers and tumors and things of this nature. So I think that there needs to be real long-term studies, real long-term safety, especially when we're dealing with a brand new experimental vaccine that they are planning to give en masse.
Well, during the 80s, you know, I had Dr. Joe Nuzma on, and he's not particularly against vaccines in the past. He thinks that there has been. Now, here's the deal. The question is, has the vaccine been better than the disease itself? And there's arguments against that. And should anybody have to take, it should be my right to take the risk anyways. But even so, before 1980, there's some good debates on whether the vaccine was better than the disease and vice versa. And okay, whatever. And we do know that there were batches that were screwed up, but still that debate is out there. But since the 80s, they opened up legislations like what you're talking about, where suddenly these vaccine companies don't have responsibility anymore, reliability anymore. And so they have free rein to create, and that's when all the vaccines started coming down the pipe, because they are no longer liable if something goes wrong. So we went from very few to what, 72 dosages now of vaccines, and they have no liability. So in what real world would a business with no liability, who has the ability to make a ton of profit, not take advantage of that? And that is a recipe for complete disaster. And that's what we're looking at right now. It's very naive for us to think that that kind of setup wouldn't create a problem. I just think that in itself gives you indication. What are your thoughts on why our legislators aren't willing to talk to other doctors and to actually look at and get other opinions? They're only willing to talk to those who, like Dr. Fauci, it's like he's the god, and they won't listen or talk to anybody with alternative ideas and opinions. Why?
Well, in my view, based on my research, and I'm not a doctor or anything like that, but based on my research over the years, the medical industry was basically taken over by the Rockefellers. Okay, this took place a long time ago, and they started to get rid of, you know, like natural herbal remedies and things that have been around for a long time, and they based it on more of a petrochemical type system, and it has evolved into the cesspit, what has become big pharma today, which is a racket. It's a very powerful lobby in DC, and they have big deep pockets, and they have basically infiltrated every aspect to a large degree of the medical system in its entirety. It's like the medical mafia. Take, for example, President Trump's coronavirus task force. The main two players we see on the stage there, like you mentioned, Dr. Tony Fauci. Well, he sits on the board, the advisory board of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's vaccine, Decades of Vaccine Initiative. Okay, he's in a special advisory member on the board. So right there, that's just one example of, compromises, conflicts of interest, I should say, between people who are trying to advise the White House, for example, on what the necessary steps are. Dr. Deborah Birx, she sits on the board of a foundation that was created and funded by Bill Gates that he dumps hundreds of millions of dollars into. I mean, the list goes on. The CDC director, Redfield, he received a large grant. He created an Institute of Virology that received a large grant and funding to found and establish that Institute of Virology, which he is a board member of. So, I mean, this just goes on and on. It's like every rock you look under, it gets deeper and deeper. And ultimately, you have to question what are their motives in this, especially when you see how there is it's a monopolized system that we are living under right now. And these quote unquote health officials are dictating to us what we need to do. And like, for example, these lockdowns were justified based on computer model projections that were received, by people like Birx, Dr. Deborah Birx, and used that computer model to advise the White House to justify the lockdowns, which we are under. And of course, these computer models were, yes, again, funded by the likes of Bill Gates.
Well, and those models, which were so wrong, we all know they're wrong, all the numbers are wrong, but they also have models that have been proven over time of how many children die in recessions, that the suicide rate goes up by 500% if someone's unemployed, the stress that your body goes through when you're unemployed and there's a recession or a depression is astronomical, and so the cardiovascular problems, I've had Dr. Wolfson on talking, he's a cardiologist, those numbers are very high. And they know the UN put out a study showing that over 200, hundreds of thousands of children die whenever there's a recession worldwide. So we know for a fact more children are going to die from their cure than from the virus, because we know the numbers of children is very low, and we know the numbers of children that die with the recession. So they've already, their cure has already killed hundreds of thousands of more children than the virus. And we are on track for the virus or their cure killing a lot more people than the virus as well. They have these models and they know these. This is very understood, established science. Why do you think they're willing to sacrifice the young in the way that they are for whatever they're doing? And I know that's a hard question, and maybe that's an unfair question, but what, other than them being completely crazy, what is there a better answer than they're just nuts? Are they in a depop, you know, and it's not even enough for depopulation when you're talking a couple hundred thousand kids. It's just cruel. I mean, I don't understand what's going on here.
There are, in my view, many different agendas at play, of course, and a lot of these same players have hands in these multiple different agendas. And of course, depopulation is a big one there. If you look at the people who, for example, founded and helped establish the United Nations and a lot of these groups underneath it, these were known eugenicists. Okay, and it's been on record that Bill Gates' father, for example, was on the board of Planned Parenthood. Which a lot of people, I'm not trying to get into the whole pro-choice or pro-life debate here. The fact of the matter is, his father sat on the board there. Okay, and they do what they do. We all know what they do there. So Bill Gates has been on record stating that, during the famous TED Talk, where if he does a really good job through new vaccines, reproductive health services, which can be considered potentially, contraceptives or and or abortions. That's reproductive health care, right? Or maybe I'm wrong, but regardless, what he's saying is that through new vaccines, reproductive health care, and new health services, they can perhaps lower the population by 10 to 15%. And he was referencing this in regards to the climate change agenda because of our carbon footprint. The world's going to come to an end because of our carbon footprint. Well, if we look at the solutions that are being offered in this current crisis, they fall in line exactly with the UN 2030 agenda and the climate change agenda. Now, so that does again raise the question of how safe are these vaccines going to be? There's been a lot of speculation that, could these vaccines sterilize people, for example? I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm not a scientist or anything like that. But at the same time, if we looked at history, there has been reports of many people who have received, like the HPV vaccine, for example, have become sterilized. Very young children, teenage girls and stuff. So it's very concerning. It's something that really makes you question what is the real agenda here. And if we look at, I mean, it's kind of just a to them a drop in the bucket. I mean, they consider themselves to be elitists, and the rest of us are, the useless eaters or the slaves or however you want to look at it. But ultimately, one of the main goals here is this economic system has been upside down and in ruins for some time. We know, everyone can see that, every week you're hitting new all-time highs in the stock markets and everything. This is unsustainable. The Federal Reserve is printing money out of thin air like crazy. This is unsustainable. So they're, attempting to crash this entire system, which has been manipulated, and the central banks don't want to take control, take responsibility for their criminal activities, and the governments don't want to take responsibility for their criminal activities. So enters the well-timed virus, which serves many purposes, in my view.